This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Well, we would like to welcome everyone to HeartWise this week. And this week, we're talking about a topic that affects many, many, actually millions of people around the world. And that condition has a big word, and it's called atrial fibrillation. And I've received lots of questions on our websites regarding atrial fibrillation. This is a condition where the top part of the heart beats faster than the bottom of the heart. And unfortunately, many people around the world carry this condition. So we've received a lot of questions, so I think it's something that we need to talk about. And with us today is our HeartWise correspondent, Tim Cochis, who's so happily agreed to come with us and help us to answer some of these questions. Tim, we'd like to welcome you to our HeartWise studios.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
And what have you been doing lately? I know you used to help, be a host with this program. What have you been doing lately to keep yourself busy?
Well, if I'm not building a radio station, I'm programming radio stations.
Great.
I'm still staying busy doing that.
Well, we've had a lot of questions come in called atrial fibrillation. Could you just, let's just sort of get the ball rolling and let's answer these questions, and other people might have these exact same questions. We can sort of educate the population about atrial fibrillation.
And let's do that. But also, I want to let people know that if you go to heartwiseministries.org, you can ask your question. Now, these are a bunch of questions in reference to this topic. And I know there's a lot of questions, particularly in the medical world. People have a lot of questions,
yeah.
And this is a great place to go, heartwiseministries.org.
And you know what? The way we choose our programming is when we see, seven or eight or nine questions on a given topic, that's when I know that this is something that the public needs to know more about. People aren't answering their questions.
And that's usually the red flag. Usually something hit the news and they said, wow, what? I wonder if this will affect me.
Yeah.
I need to know
more. And, Tim, this rhythm affects more people than any other rhythm. And in my office, I see more people with atrial fibrillation than anything else. And this rhythm can cause strokes and a lot of problems. So it's important that we answer these questions.
Wow. Well, let's get started here because we've had a lot of questions come in. And like you say, it's a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, first question, my doctor has diagnosed atrial fibrillation. What is this? And let's clarify that so people understand what it is and what they can look for.
Now, atrial fibrillation is a condition where the top part of the heart, called the atrium, beats faster than the bottom. And when they're not beating symmetrically, you lose the efficiency of the heart. And some studies have shown that you can lose one-third of the efficiency of the heart when your heart doesn't beat synchronously. It's out of rhythm. The top part actually beats hundreds and hundreds of times. That's why they call it fibrillated. It just shakes like a bag of worm, and it can't squeeze the blood through to the bottom chamber, which is called the ventricle, which pumps through the body.
Okay, now we're talking about the upper chamber of the heart and the lower chamber. And one opens and brings blood in, the other one releases and comes into the other chamber, and then it continues to pump that into the rest of the body.
Exactly.
So that's what we're talking about.
And the upper chamber is just going so many times, it's just pumping right away. So the heart
spasms.
The heart, right, that's a good word. And the heart can't fill up with blood very well. Sometimes people might feel their heart quiver, they might get dizzy, they might get short of breath. Of course, the blood pressure might go down, so they might not have energy. So that's what atrial fibrillation is. And why it's so serious is not only does your heart lose efficiency, but when the top part is not pumping adequately, the blood doesn't flow through it easily. And whenever blood doesn't move, guess what happens? It has a tendency to clot. And if the blood doesn't move through a chamber freely and it clots, then that clot can be pumped out from the bottom chamber and it can go up into the head and cause a stroke. It can be pumped to other parts of the body. This could be very dangerous. In fact, it's estimated that 15% of all strokes come from atrial fibrillation. And when a clot gets in the heart and it's pumped out, they call that an embolism, an embolic event. So this atrial fibrillation can cause strokes. It can cause people to feel bad, not have enough energy. When the heart's going fast, you can get short of breath. You can get tired easily. Your blood pressure could come down. And this is a very serious medical condition.
So we're talking about the heart being a pump, which is pushing the blood around the body.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not pumping, this is going to cause some serious issues because you got to get the oxygen through the blood from the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
The heart is pumping it. So the question here would be, could this cause a heart attack?
Yeah. Well, atrial fibrillation in itself, you know, it could precipitate a heart attack if the blood pressure went low, but usually the atrial fibrillation is a result of something else. Mm-hmm. What's causing it? Now, if you're having a heart attack first, that could trigger atrial fibrillation. We've seen that.
Other
conditions can cause atrial fibrillation. It could be genetics. Mm-hmm. You could have bad genetics. One of the most common causes of atrial fibrillation now is a condition called sleep apnea, where people don't rest well at night. They don't get enough oxygen. The pressures change, the atrium gets enlarged, and that triggers this chaotic rhythm. Another cause of atrial fibrillation would be a weak heart. Another one would be bad heart valves. Another condition that might trigger atrial fibrillation is just high blood pressure that's untreated. Some people have overactive thyroids or get dehydrated. Some people have too much stimulants in their body, too much caffeine. There's stimulants like pseudoephedrine that's in some of these energy drinks. So any type of bad stressor could provoke this atrial fibrillation. So when they come in the hospital, not only do I want to slow their heart down and give them blood thinners, but the next thing I want to do is find out why they have it. Do they have sleep apnea? Do they have a bad heart? Are their heart valves bad? Do they have an overactive thyroid? Do they have infections? Are they dehydrated? Or do they have genetic history? Or is it a combination of any of these? Because I think the key to treating atrial fibrillation is to know why something happened. You just don't want to treat a symptom. If you can figure out why it's happening, you can prevent it. Now, if it's a genetic cause of it, you know, that's a little bit tougher, but we have medical treatments for that as well.
Well, we've always said that the body itself is a finely tuned instrument. Mm-hmm. When the chemistry gets a little whacked out and messed up and everything gets a little thrown off, like you said, what is their issue? Mm-hmm. What's causing the problem? You have to look at that as a doctor and say, okay, how do I correct that and retune the instrument, the body, function in a proper manner?
So I think we understand sort of a little bit what atrial fibrillation. Let's go to another question.
All righty. Is it possible to cure this atrial fibrillation?
Yeah, and it's really according to what the cause is. For instance, if sleep apnea is causing it, we might be able to place a sleep mask on. Of course, the number one cause of sleep apnea now is obesity. Mm-hmm. If people can lose weight, sometimes the atrial fibrillation gets better because the sleep apnea gets better. If it's caused by an overactive thyroid, you treat the thyroid. If it's caused by some other valvular heart disease, and sometimes you can treat that or treat a heart attack and you treat the underlying cause, and sometimes atrial fibrillation gets better. Now, sometimes it's caused by aging. Sometimes it's caused by abnormal circuits within the heart itself. Nowadays, we have a bunch of procedures that can help the heart do better. We have medicines that can help keep the heart in rhythm or at least slow down. We have blood thinners that help with the clots. And now we have, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, we have a medical procedure called an ablation, where we actually can go up and find those tracts, you know, the pulmonary veins, and we can do a circumferential ablation. We isolate the pulmonary veins, and there's procedures we can do that might be curative for some conditions of atrial fibrillation, depending on what is causing it. And that's the key, Tim, is if you have it, you need to know what's causing it. Now, if our listeners out there and feel their hearts jumping to and from, the way we make this diagnosis is very interesting. It's with an EKG. And sometimes if it doesn't happen all the time, we put a monitor on. So we have to see the electrical activity of the heart to make this diagnosis. Now, some people have little spells of atrial fibrillation before it ever becomes a prolonged spell. And they might feel their heart quivering or palpitating or jumping. So monitors and EKGs sort of help us make this diagnosis that they might have this serious condition.
And we've had some friends that have had those issues. And they actually had to put a monitor on them because it was a random thing.
Right. Sometimes you don't pick up atrial fibrillation. You find other conditions in the conduction systems. There's one called a sick sinus syndrome, and that's where the heart beats normal sometimes, and it goes really slow because the battery's not functioning well. Mm-hmm. You know, you told me about a person that had that earlier.
Right.
That treatment for that is a pacemaker, and that's just because the battery is not doing its job. And this is a great place where modern medicine is very beneficial, Tim. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about without modern medicine, the heart could have all sorts of bad things happen.
And for this person we were talking about earlier, if they didn't get a pacemaker, the doctor was absolutely flabbergasted and said, I can't believe you're standing here.
Right.
Based on the condition.
Right. And Alfred Hitchcock is interesting. He had one of the first pacemakers.
Right.
It was really, really big. But now the pacemakers are about the size of a quarter. Now, people all the time ask me for atrial fibrillation if a pacemaker would help. Well, remember, atrial fibrillation because it's going too fast. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes if the heart goes fast and slow, we put a pacemaker in for the slow ones, and in for the fast ones, we either treat that with medicines or ablation. Well, I hope you're out there learning a little bit about atrial fibrillation today. And if you have any funny symptoms, get to see your doctor. They might want to put a monitor or do an EKG. We're going to be right back after this break to answer more questions about atrial fibrillation. Or you can go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org. We'll be right back after this short break.
I sick?
How can I get off my medications?
How do I get better?
How can I have ultimate healing?
The Ultimate Prescription by Dr. James L. Markham answers these questions and introduces the reader to the ultimate prescription for our lives. This book is available at your local bookstore or online at Amazon.com.
I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the HeartWise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by heartwiseministries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of HeartWise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on heartwiseministries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's heartwiseministries.org.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I talk to patients every day who want to know the truth in healthcare. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, you can have your questions answered. You can read my blog where I talk about interesting and controversial subjects in medicine. You might choose to go to the radio or television sections and learn more about all sorts of health topics. Take the time and go to heartwiseministries.org. Welcome back to HeartWise. I'm your host, Dr. James Markham. I'm here with Tim Kochis, who's been helping us answer your questions regarding the most common rhythm problem that we see today, and that's atrial fibrillation. And we talked a little bit in the last segment about what it was, things that people should know about, the way it's made the diagnosis with a monitor or telemetry. Tim, let's go on some more questions that have come in. People are very confused about this.
And they are. And we have another question. I'm going to break it into two parts here. Okay. One is, what is an ablation?
Great. Okay. We talked a little bit about that. So first of all, we want to make the diagnosis of atrial fibrillation. That's a symptom would come first, and a person might be extremely short of breath, feeling their heart palpitate, having some pain or flutterings in their chest. That would lead them to a doctor that might place them on a monitor or do an EKG. The diagnosis of atrial fibrillation is made. The next step is to find out why they have atrial fibrillation. That might include a stress test to see if they have blockages in the arteries. It might consist of an echocardiogram, testing the strength of the heart, blood work, looking for electrolyte abnormalities, and a complete history and physical to see if you have genetic abnormalities. I'm asking you about sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. After all that's done, then treatment begins. And treatment focuses on trying to restore the rhythm if possible. And sometimes if we cannot restore the rhythm, get it back to a normal rhythm, which we want because it helps the efficiency of the heart, then we work on just controlling the speed of the heart and putting a patient on blood thinners. Most of the people feel bad because of the heart goes too fast. So we have medicines that can do that. We also want to lower their risk of stroke. We talked about how the top part beats faster than the bottom can get a stroke. Mm-hmm. But what an ablation is some people are eligible for an ablation. That's where we go up through the groin with catheters placed in the veins, and we actually have it hooked up to computers. We actually find the area where the atrial fibrillation comes from, and it's usually an area around the pulmonary vein. And then through a series of what we call an ablation, or they use sound wave energy to destroy the pathways, they actually destroy the electrical circuits. This is an electrical thing, Tim. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was getting that.
This is the electrical. So they destroy that electrical pathway that causes the atrial fibrillation. Now, we didn't have this. We haven't had this technology forever, but some people are qualified to have this. A person that might be qualified to have this is a younger person that has atrial fibrillation, that it devastates them. They can't do well with it, especially if they failed a medication. Mm-hmm. Another person that might be beneficial is a person that if they don't get it, they go into heart failure or they can't function well. Some of the older patients, we don't do that as much in the older patients, even though it is an option, because most of them, they're not quite as active. They don't feel it as well. And they just do fine with rate-controlling medicines and blood thinners. So this is usually people that fail medications, people that have lots of symptoms, and it's also, we tend to do it in younger-based patients that really do a lot more and more active because they feel the symptoms a lot more. And the ablation procedure keeps getting better and better each year. The cardiologist subtype that does that is called an electrophysiology. The test takes quite a while to do, but I've had lots of patients that come after the ablation. They feel great. They don't have to take the medications anymore. If they stay in rhythm for a long period of time, they don't even have to take the blood thinners. So ablation is one of the, first we want to find the cause, because we find the cause, sometimes we can get rid of it.
Right.
But an ablation is a treatment for people that have genetic problems or people that we can't quite get at the cause.
Well, then when or why should this be considered as an option?
Yeah. Especially, for instance, Tim, you're a young man. If you had atrial fibrillation and we made the diagnosis and we put you on all the medicine, we couldn't find out a cause, not sleep apnea, not thyroid disease, and you kept having it. Well, we put you on some medicines. Let's say I put you on a medicine and you did fine for 2 or 3 years, but then you failed the medicine and it came on again. And every time you wanted to go out and do a, work on a radio station or, it just took off and you felt horrible. You couldn't breathe. You couldn't, work on your equipment. So we'd say, well, rather than going to a second medicine, let's see if we can get rid of the circuit. Let's go ahead and ablation. Well, why don't we do it right off the bat? Well, there's a couple reasons. Sometimes the medicines can last for years and years. Mm-hmm. This test does, the ablation does have some risk. Anytime you're up in the heart, there's a risk of bleeding. There's a risk of putting a hole in the heart. There's a risk of stroke. There's a small risk of damaging the other parts of the conduction system needing a pacemaker. So we don't usually jump to this first line, even though there has been some recent studies saying, in a younger person, the right candidate, this might be considered a first line test. Also, because atrial fibrillation is so prevalent in society, especially as people age, as you can imagine, this is an expensive test and someone has to pay for this test. And so we have to be a little bit a selective about which people are the best ones to have it, So that's another thing we have to do.
All right. Yeah, I know. I do. I have a friend that had that same problem, and he had this atrial fibrillation, and they actually had to go back in. And the problem is the upper chamber and the lower chamber were firing at the same time.
Yeah.
And they found out that electrically it was connected.
Yeah.
And they went in twice. And the first time they helped. The second time they realized it found another path.
Well, that's an important thing. Well, there's different types of ablations. Mm-hmm. Ablations just mean destroy the rhythm. So there's a different one, different types of ablations for atrial fibrillations, and there's different ones for these bypass tracts that come through.
Right.
So there's different types of ablations that we do.
Okay, so you mentioned about young people being athletic, that they might experience it more. Who would be a true candidate for this kind of treatment then?
Yeah, well, I think the perfect candidate would be a person that had a structurally pretty normal heart, their pulmonary veins weren't enlarged, person that was otherwise healthy, that was very symptomatic when they had it. They couldn't perform their duties, they couldn't do things, and that's failed at least one other medicine to help their rhythm. So that would be the perfect candidate to have this procedure called an ablation. You do have to go to the hospital for it. You usually have to stay overnight for it. There is a few risks, but at this point, probably the benefits of the ablation would probably be worth the small risk of it.
Okay,
so that would be the perfect candidate.
But who would not be?
Yeah, some people that would not be good candidates for it would be an elderly person that had a big atrium. So their pulmonary veins were big in atrium. They didn't think it would hold good. Someone wouldn't do good with the procedure. procedure, mm-hmm. someone that wasn't really that symptomatic, that felt pretty good just controlling the speed of the heart, someone that had a lot of comorbid conditions that might trigger more atrial fibrillation, someone that was really, really heavy and that had sleep apnea, some people that we didn't think that the electrophysiologist didn't think that that would be the best thing to do. So the electrophysiologist helps screen, but in general, that's sort of the candidates for the ablation.
Okay, so let's get into another question here, which might also be an alternative, which would be a blood thinner or something else that somebody else would go to as an alternative.
Yeah, well, remember, we talked about if the medicines don't work, you know, the reason to do these fancy procedures is if a person has symptoms, okay, and we always, but sometimes you can lower the risk, slower the heart rate down with some medicines, and the patient has no symptoms.
Yeah, okay. Now I've had people who've had a rhythm problem where they stop the heart and restart it to basically, it's like rebooting a computer to give it rhythm. Right.
Sometimes we do that. That's called a cardioversion, and that can help them. And sometimes the patient, we just can't keep them in rhythm, but they don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. So in that case, we just control the speed of the heart. And if they don't have symptoms, we control the speed. And some medicines we use could be a beta blocker or calcium channel blockers. And we give them blood thinners. And the reason we give them blood thinners, the high-risk people, you know, the people that are more formed to form clots, is we don't want them to have a stroke. And that's one of my greatest concerns about atrial fibrillation, is people are in atrial fibrillation because it's not going fast. They don't even notice it. They get a blood clot, and then all of a sudden they show up to the emergency room with a stroke. And we decide, oh no, they had atrial fibrillation for years and years. No one even knew it. They didn't know it because their heart didn't go fast necessarily. Not everyone's heart goes fast in atrial fibrillation.
Yeah, interesting. Now, we talk about different treatments. What about natokinase?
Yeah.
Which is natural, I believe.
Yeah, natokinase. Natokinase is a blood thinner that people use. However, we do not recommend it because we cannot regulate it. It's not tested by the FDA, and we don't know whether it really works for the prevention of strokes and atrial fibrillation. The gold standard for the years for atrial fibrillation for all blood thinners has been one called warfarin or Coumadin. Mm-hmm. That thins out the blood. Every time you thin out the blood, of course, you raise the risk of bleeding. And that's a real risk of any of the blood thinners, is risk of bleeding. The benefit is to lower the risk of stroke. So people that have clots in the heart, in the legs, throughout the body, they're frequently on Coumadin or warfarin. That's a long-acting blood thinner. Right. In the hospital, we have IV things like heparin, Lovenox, that also keep the blood thin. Now, there's some new ones that's coming out as well.
And we also, that's right. Here's another question. My doctor gave me Xarelto.
Yeah.
What is this?
Now, Xarelto is a new medicine that's out there to replace Coumadin for the treatment of atrial fibrillation to prevent clots. It's just brand new out there. The advantage of that one is it's once a day. You don't have to monitor the blood as closely, and it's a once a day pill. The disadvantage of it is it's a new medicine. We don't know how it's going to go. We can't really monitor a patient with the blood work to tell, you know, if they've been taking it. Right. And unlike warfarin, which can be reversed pretty easily with vitamin K, we can't reverse Xarelto as easy. There's another one that's out there on the market as well called Pradaxa. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm using these new medications in patients right now that cannot take Coumadin. The advantage of the new medicines is you don't have to watch your diet as closely. Vitamin K.
K is the big one.
Right. It causes problems with Coumadin. It actually deactivates.
It deactivates it.
So people on Coumadin can't eat as many green vegetables. They also have to take their blood quite a bit in the office to make sure it's not too thick or too thin, which I like because that way I can monitor to make sure they're not bleeding.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's so many questions, Tim, about atrial fibrillation. Coming in. If you might have more questions about atrial fibrillation, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org, and we'd like to answer your question. We want to thank you for joining us today. And if you have atrial fibrillation, make sure you see your doctor and get all your questions answered. I'm Dr. James Martin with Tim Cochus, wishing you a healthy day.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.